Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
So I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning to what I thought was somebody being attacked. It was like groans of a woman. It was like,
In your house?
No. It was like coming from across the field.
Do you still live with your parents?
No, I do not. That is absolute lies. I heard these groans coming from what I thought was across the field. And then I realised that these groans were maybe a bit too pleasurable to be attacked.
Stop. She might have been being killed or something.
Or could be into that sort of stuff. I don't know.
Dear, whatever day it is right now, time, whatever time it is right now, here's Luke.
Hello.
She's Lucy.
Hello.
This is Luke and Lucy FM. What's on this week's episode?
This week we are talking all things Big Brother with the legend himself, the narrator of Big Brother for nearly 2 decades. Marcus Bentley is on the phone. We're talking all things Big Brother from my experience, his experience, and Lucy's lack of experience.
I get a feeling there's going to be a riot.
Oh, hello and welcome to Luke and Lucy FM, episode 18. If you've joined us since the beginning, thank you so much for being here for the past 18 weeks.
18 weeks?
18
wow.
weeks. I know, remarkable stuff, absolutely.
We have bored you to death for 18 weeks.
No, don't say that,
Lucy. That's pretty remarkable.
You're not really selling Luke and Lucy FM here, are you, by saying that we're boring them to death over the past 18 weeks? My name's Luke Marsden. Hello, if you're just joining us for the first time. And a true fact about me, I have never actually drunk a full can of Coca-Cola.
I have not either. So that's not a great fact.
What a double whammy of a fact we've just had. So what's a fact about you, Lucy Hilton?
I've just realised today I've never taken part in any charitable event.
That is like, absolute.
I've not done a charity fun run or anything.
You're disgusting.
But I've given money to charity.
You're absolutely, that's vile.
Like,
that's absolutely vile.
Stop. Like, my brother did the London Marathon last night. Like,
great, your brother did it. Oh, I had my sister drink a can of Coke. That means I did it. this episode, we just want to say as well, is of course brought to you by High Life Diners Club. They are supporting Luke and Lucy FM. And if you want an amazing exclusive offer, get your hands on a High Life Diners Club card, then you can. And we're going to reveal information about that at the end of this episode. If you want to listen to previous episodes, by the way, as well, just search Luke and Lucy FM on iTunes. Now, Lucy, if I were to go day one, what would you do?
I'd say you're doing a really, really crap impression of the guy from Big Brother.
Well, funny you should say that, because this episode is all about Big Brother. How I've managed to do 17 weeks of a podcast, coming up to the 18th week, and not talk about Big Brother extensively is beyond me.
Didn't we talk about Big Brother quite extensively with Brian Bellow?
Yeah, well, that was back on episode 8 or something like that.
Lies.
Check out that out on iTunes. Just search Luke and Lucy FM. And, you know, well, for me, though, it's coming up. And, you know, the new series has started at the time. People might be listening to this. It might have started on Channel 5. But Big Brother has. It was really the Big Brother of reality TV shows, right? You know, in the US. But it started in the year 2000 here in the UK.
Was it 2000?
16 years ago.
I actually remember watching, because I didn't really watch them anymore. I've not watched them for years now.
Since
your year, obviously. I remember watching the first ever episode, and I actually loved it.
Yeah,
Craig, what's his name?
Craig Phillips. Yes.
Yeah, he won it. He was awesome.
Multi-millionaire Craig Phillips, I want to point out.
He's made
a fortune.
He's on some DIY program now,
yes,
hasn't
he? Yes, he's on DIY channel.
Yeah, but he's
on
like
Sky.
A really likeable person.
Yes.
Whereas people who go in these days, I don't warm to them. They're just there to be laughed at, really, aren't they?
The thing is, Lucy, when Big Brother started back in 2000, hosted by the brilliant Davina McCall, by the way, if you're listening to this, Davina, we'd like to get you on the podcast, a future episode of Luke and Lucy FM. That'd be great.
We do love Davina.
We absolutely do. And when it first started back in 2000, it was pitched to Channel 4 as a social experiment. What would happen if you... It was groundbreaking. They'd never seen anything like it before. What would happen if you put loads of complete people who'd never met each other before in a house and they had to live together? I mean, even the concept
With no mobile mobile phones. That's no them. Anything. Was mobile phones invented then?
Just, I'd imagine, the year 2000. Yeah, they were flip phones. Everyone had a flip phone back then.
Oh, do you remember Nokia 3610?
This is not
like
an
that.
Episode, the one where we look about Nokias.
They were such cool phones.
So, you know, back then, the concept, actually, now saying it out loud 16 years later, sounds stupid. It sounds dull. I mean, if you think about it, you know, the whole putting people in a house, no contact with the outside world and see how they
it's
got on.
It's been done before a million times.
But it actually...
Everyone's, it's
it
done
hasn't.
On other shows as well, like right now, Love Island is on.
Yeah. And,
there are loads of people
loads
who...
of other TV and it's
just
spawned,
want to snog each other and
that's the thing, and it spawned sort of like offsprings like that at Big Brother anyway, and none of these shows would be on TV if Big Brother hadn't done what it done in back in 2000. And obviously for people who don't know, Big Brother it massive huge rating success for Channel 4 back then. They'd never seen anything like it. The massive controversy that
Nasty Nick he was in the first round.
Now,
I loved Nasty Nick.
If you think
what
about Nasty Nick,
what is he doing right now?
He lives in Australia now.
Does he?
Yeah,
no
I don't blame him. If you listen to Australia right now, by the way, just search Luke and Lucy FM on iTunes. And you know, Nasty Nick, all he did was cheat at a game. They were doing nominations where they had to nominate somebody to be evicted. He just wrote down subtly on a piece of paper people that he wanted to go. You know, he wrote down names of try to influence.
So mean.
He was treated like a serial killer when he came out. Honestly, he got removed from the house and he was in hiding. He had to have witness protection and like,
seriously?
Oh, seriously, he had chaperones. He was the Daily Mail said he was one of the worst humans on the planet.
Stop. Did he do that just all off his own back though? Channel 4 didn't tell him to do it, did
they? Now this is the thing, right? You know, obviously, and we'll get on to my journey. But you know, you would think the network, for example, Channel 4 would try to spice it up and tell him to do things.
Yeah.
Back then, bear in mind, Channel 4 had no clue what they were taking on. This was the inaugural edition of Big Brother, so they had no idea what it was going to be like.
Right.
Nasty Nick did this off his own back, got the nickname Nasty Nick because what he'd done was nasty, tried to influence nominations.
You can't think about that Nick dude and not call him Nasty Nick.
Nasty Nick. I mean, obviously, there's been subsequent incarnations of Big Brother, and he's been back in various other series, you know, cameo appearances. Yeah, he made a few. He lived back in the house, and actually, he was just a normal guy, and that's what it showed when they bring him back years later for other series.
He's like, changed his ways.
Ultimate Big Brother stuff. What do you mean? He still couldn't write. That was the only nasty thing he did. He wrote on a piece of paper. It was
yeah, but he's being mean to other housemates. All right, carry on anyway.
So you know, in that sort of instance, I feel as though it's laughable. Of course, you know, most people know the journey of Big Brother from then. It absolutely skyrocketed for Channel 4. They renewed it and renewed it and renewed it. And then you jump forward to the year 2010 and Channel 4 after a decade. And bear in mind, in that decade for Channel 4, we saw ratings peak, absolutely spike, and then begin to slip and drop. Right?
Okay, from 2010.
From 2000 all the way through to 2010. So it did 10 years on Channel 4.
Okay.
Right? But look.
Oh, right. Did it go to Channel 5 after 2010?
Channel 5 after 2010.
I didn't realise it was so far, like, long ago that
no,
it did
so,
that.
No, so, you know, they'd done this entire.
Is that
kind
when
of,
Brian Dowling took
Brian
over?
Brian Dowling took
presenter.
Over as host, which flopped after, obviously, after 1 year. And, you know, I think it officially moved to Channel 5 in 2011, but it did definitely a decade on Channel 4. And the big one was you've seen the controversies like Shilpa Shetty and the Jade Goodie celebrity racism one. It was groundbreaking when they did the celebrities one, because it's all one good doing a social experiment with normal people. But how about you get people who people actually know and shove them in a house with each other? That's never
to
been
be
done
fair,
before.
You say this, but Celebrity Big Brother, I don't know any of them who go on there because they're all Z-listers.
Back in the day, you did know the likes of Jackie Stallone. You did know the likes of Vanessa Feltz, for
they
example,
did
when she
have
did it.
Some big names
Anthea
in there, didn't
Turner
they?
Did it, you know. I mean, they did have some big names. I mean, these days, your mum could get into Celebrity Big Brother.
Maybe me. Literally below Z-list.
And this is the thing, man. So people began, and it was actually Heat magazine that kind of instigated the celebrity side of Big Brother. Because when you did this show, and I remember talking to Craig Phillips, I don't want to not drop any names, but I remember talking to Craig Phillips about this. And he said when he came out, he expected to go back to work. And then suddenly he became an overnight sensation. He'd been on TV, all these millions upon millions of people. And Burning Man live feed was then, so you could watch him 24 hours a day.
What did he do for work?
Well, I think he did a lot of construction stuff, similar to what he does now. No, nowhere near. Nowhere near that level.
DIY SOS. Yeah, something like that.
Probably not. I don't know what even what that show is. And he, you know, he became a celebrity. And Heat magazine, one of the first magazines to actually take the risk and put normal people on the front cover.
Yeah.
Because that further, exactly like Craig, and it further fuels the beast that became Big Brother. Because now people, especially like, you know, my year 2008 and years before that, they realise there's a lot of money to be made to this from the likes of the magazines, all the appearances you can do in nightclubs afterwards.
Well, because everyone was watching it, weren't they?
Yeah, back then, ratings were massive, 10, 12 million, you know, people.
Yeah.
More people watched and voted for Craig Phillips to win than they do actually physically watch Channel 5 now.
Really?
He had more votes to win than actually Channel 5 have viewers now.
Wow.
And that's the thing, Big Brother, he's still got legs. It's still got legs.
Yeah,
it's a different
entity. People are still watching it, aren't they?
But nowhere near in that thing. You know, no. I bet you're wondering, Lucy, Luke, why did you go on it?
To be fair, I wasn't wondering that, but why did you go on it?
Thanks, Lucy. I went on it. Well, I was at university in the year 2008. And
did you go? I didn't realise you went to uni.
I am 1 year educated before I resigned from university.
To go on TV.
And well, I thought to myself, how can I pay off my student loan? I'd done this year and I thought, well, I'm not really enjoying uni.
Back?
Well, I don't really like it. What can I do? And I thought, how am I going to pay off this 1 year that I've racked up, what is it, £9,000 worth of debt?
Okay.
And then I thought to myself, my friend came to my house a few weeks. It was back in November 2007, and my friend came to my house and said, me and my girlfriend are going auditioning for Big Brother. And
really?
I was like, why on earth would you audition for that? The show is full of freaks. It's a freak show. It's abysmal. Why on earth would you go watching it, you know, auditioning for it? And he said, you know, you should come along, Luke. I think you'll get on. I was like, I don't think so. So one Sunday morning, very cold in November, I remember putting my suit on. Thought I'd make an effort.
Your suit? Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I put my suit on. George and Asda, they're not sponsoring us, if you want to, by the way. Tweet us at Luke and Lucy FM. And I put that on and I made my way to Manchester. And I text my friend, and this was about 8 a.m. I text my friend and I said, I'm in Manchester. Where are you? He said, oh, we're staying in bed. And I thought,
really?
Oh, I've been stood up here. And I thought, well, actually.
So you was there on your own, in your little suit.
In my little suit. And
chilling,
I thought,
your badass.
Chilling my, yes. And I thought to myself, my word, now what do I do? And there was two girls who walked past me, identical twins. And they said they were.
In this cuter audition.
No, they walked past me going up to the steps of where the building was where we auditioned.
Okay.
They were in the skimpiest, tiniest outfits I've ever seen.
And you're there in your little suit.
And they're in my suit, all snazzed up, thinking, who are these two girls? And I'm looking at them and they were like, oh, come on, are you auditioning for Big Brother? I was like, well, I am now. I queued up for 4.5 hours.
Oh, wow.
I stood there next to two pole dancers.
Could you really be bothered?
An extra from court. Well, I stood there, I thought, I'm here now. And the process itself is a very, very long journey, and it took
it
6 months of doing it. And I saw a clinical psychologist.
Did you? Found out then how mental you are?
They analysed me and they said I'm one of the sanest people they've met. But that was 8 years ago then. So, you know, maybe times have developed. And pretty much, you know, the process was I kept going back to these auditions in London, and even getting to the stage where you get selected to be a housemate is a grueling process.
Did you tell people that you were doing this?
I only told a handful of people, including my dad. I remember my dad, I told him, I said, I'm auditioning for this reality show called Big Brother. And he was like, why on earth would you do that? Just go and get a job. Don't do that.
I agree with your dad.
Yes, you don't need to do that. My mum, they were, you know, and I didn't know when I went into hiding, I didn't know whether or not I was going to be.
When you went into hiding?
Well, yeah, because
my goodness.
Before you become a housemate, Channel 4 at the time paid for everybody to go at different corners of Europe. So, because housemates were a big deal, they never revealed the housemates before you went in. So they paid for me to go to France for 2 weeks with two chaperones.
Are you kidding?
I swear to you, I've never met these chaperones before.
So you had to go on your own. With these
a guy
two
called
randoms.
Matt and a guy called Danny, right?
Were they your best friends by the end of it?
Well, yeah, they spent 2 weeks with me. Wouldn't you be my best friend after 2 weeks?
Oh, I don't know about that. Locked in a
chateau in French. The only friend I had was this horse in the opposite field called Chapelle or whatever it was called. And you know,
I genuinely didn't know you did that.
Yeah, and you do all that, and you find out when
did
you're
you
in
tell
hiding.
Your dad?
I saw my mum.
Your dad must have known.
No, I told my mum.
But what did you say you were going? Where you were going?
Well, I saw him nipping to the shop. I said to my mum. I said, I was on a platform at Wigan Northwestern, a train station, and I stood there and I said, Mum, I don't know whether I'm going to be a housemate, so I'm going to see you in 2 weeks to send me back after France.
Oh, so you did tell them?
Yeah, or you'll see me when I get evicted. And the last time they saw me from May was when I got evicted in August.
Stop.
Yeah,
so you went to France and then you went
straight into
the
house.
So you had to pack for 8 weeks.
Potentially, yeah, months.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Huh? Oh, I
know.
Hope you washed your undies and things like that.
No, recycled, turned them inside out and then used them again.
Gross.
I could be you all day talking about myself, but I don't want to be. I want to speak to a guy who said every single single name of every housemate ever. Welcome to Luke and Lucy FM, the voice of, actually, not only Big Brother, but the voice of Luke and Lucy FM.
Yes.
He does the intro, and no, it's actually a pleasure to have him real life, not recorded. It's Marcus Bentley.
Yeah, and not on Luke and Lucy FM.
No, you'll get to your pre-recorded voice at the end of the episode. Marcus, thanks so much for taking the time out of being you and joining us on Luke and Lucy FM. I just want to say thanks for being the voice of our podcast as well.
Wicked. Do you know what? I haven't listened to it for a while. I'll have to get back into it. It's really good.
Thank you, Marcus.
The one with Judy James, it was really good.
Yeah,
she was good, wasn't she?
About Valentine's Day.
Yes, the debut episode, yeah. No, thanks, Marcus. It's great you've listened to one.
I think you've got chemistry, you know.
Oh, no, thanks, Marcus. Yeah, we have been criticised for that.
We have, actually.
Marcus, thanks so much. If people were to hear your voice, I mean, even let's just tackle this, you must get recognised pretty much everywhere, but not for your face. That must be weird to start with.
Well, do you know what? The other day, I'll try and make this brief, right? I've had loads of stories over the years, been on trains where I've said this thing and the people are going, oh my God, it's you, blah, blah. And so, you know, after sort of 16 years, which is what it is now, it's sort of, you get surprised sometimes. I contacted an old friend on Facebook, as you do, I hadn't seen him since childhood. And he goes, oh, my boss has just bought a holiday home near you. I live in Broadstairs in Kent. And he says, oh, yeah, he said he lives near the voice of Big Brother. Well, I've only lived here a few months and kept me down. So somebody must have heard what I said. And thought, so it gets all around the world. You know?
I mean, it's crazy. It's absolutely insane.
If you talk to you normally, though, without you kind of saying anything similar to what you do on Big Brother, you wouldn't be able to tell. You just sound like a little Geordie guy.
A little
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah, because as I always say, if you say certain words, that's when people's ears prick up.
Yeah.
You talk about a deer or something, whatever. But yeah, when I say I do a Big Brother, when I go, Luke and Lucy are in the studio talking to Marcus. It's
yeah.
Obviously, I don't go around talking like that. It's like, oh, see, I wish you did. Well, I'm friends with Peter Dixon, the voice of the X Factor, and I always say to him, well, he doesn't go around going, tonight, Marcus and Peter.
Marcus, I mean, have you had people actually offer you money to go around and narrate their lives?
I have. I don't think they're ever serious, though.
But
it would be funny.
That being said, if you do want that, please just tweet Marcus.
Do you know what? I've had some mega, mega offers over the year. I once got this, and it was right in the middle of Big Brother. Somebody was having a 40th birthday party, and they were really rich, and they lived in some part of Europe, Saint-Tropez.
Oh,
and this
wow.
party organiser was offered me 15,000 quid to go over, all expenses but paid, to go and basically narrate the party that he's
like.
And
gosh.
I couldn't do it.
Why?
I couldn't do it. I was doing Big
Brother. Contracted.
Oh,
yeah.
No. You've been devastated.
That's big money.
Yeah. Tell them I'll go instead.
Yeah, tell anybody
I'll go. Try my best. You had to have a birthday and you had to be right in the middle of July or whatever.
Oh, that's so annoying. So how did you get the job in the first place at Big
Well,
Brother?
Many years ago, I used to be an actor. Now, I'm going to be an actor again one year, but that's for another time. But I used to be an actor. I went to drama school, did all the stuff and did players, TV, and I had
Did you do TV?
Yeah, I did things like London's Burning and The Bill
cool.
and what. You're standard.
Oh my God.
He's been around the block.
I didn't know this.
Been around the block originally, but you know, I haven't done anything for a long. I actually did a short film last year, which was really good. The first time I'd done anything. I probably about 10 years. Anyway. And basically, I had a good few years, and then it started getting a bit sort of like, thin on the ground work.
Yeah.
And
well,
I just applied.
You're not
I
just applied, a voice, then.
He's
know,
a face.
I wasn't doing voiceover, so I applied to an agent who I thought was an acting agent, and they weren't. They were voiceovers. Basically, they were the biggest voiceover agent in the country.
Okay.
And then they took me on, and then... Basically, when the producers of Big Brother were looking for a voice, and don't forget, we hadn't heard of Big Brother. There's been rumblings in the papers that was this thing Big Brother was happening.
Yeah.
And then basically, the producers went to all the top voiceover agents and asked for all their tapes. They were all on cassette tapes. This is going back 2000.
That's how old it is, Lucy.
That's how old it was.
Remember tapes.
Everybody. Yeah, you remember cassette tapes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so... So basically, they like what I did. They listen to hundreds of people. They like what I did, and then they give me a bit of script to sort of record at my leisure. So I sent it off, and basically, it was typical Big Brother fare. It was so-and-so's in the garden feeding the chickens, blah-de-blah. And apparently, it's an old story now. The main Channel 4 commissioning editor loved the way I said the word chickens, and that's how I got the job. So it's just, but you know what? I remember I once did a commercial for it was a BT commercial, and we had to improvise for this. This is when I was an actor, and this bloke, the director, just loved the way I said a certain phrase, whatever, in his improvisation. And there was hundreds of people going for this job, and I got it. So there'll be people all over the country, actors, and I mean, it could have been a major film or anything.
You basically...
They like something that you do, and that's it.
That's it. Something
like,
yeah,
simple, like, yeah, the word chickens, you know.
You owe your career to where you were born.
He owes his career to an animal.
Ooh, yeah, chickens.
But you know what? Here's a funny little story. Well, it's not that funny. I was really pissed off. Cut that bit. I was really upset at the time. But basically, when they did the first series, Channel 4, after the first series, it was so successful, they thought, oh, should we try another voice now? But Endemol didn't want to do it. So they basically thought, because it was so popular, obviously, and they got all these famous people came out the woodwork.
Oh, really?
Rona Cameron, I remember being one, because she was with my agent. They tested everybody for the second series. I didn't. And basically, it went massive. I remember being on Radio 1 with Chris Moyle. And the Big Brother was going to start in a few days' time, and I hadn't got the gig.
Oh, really?
I was really sad. But I was sort of pretending that I had, because I was getting these offers to go on radio stations.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was thinking, I haven't got this gig. And I remember I was actually with Chris Moyles when the phone rang, and it was my agent, so you're never going to guess it. You've got the job. They can't find anybody to replace you, thank God.
Brilliant.
And then Endemol were going, oh, bloody stupid Channel 4. They were going, oh, they've tried everybody. We've been fighting for you, and they've tried everybody. They've had every sort of voice in the country come through. But
that is great. I mean, that says it all.
I can't imagine anyone else doing it. I've never took it for granted.
It really sort of...
I mean, there'd be an uproar. I mean, when Channel 4 moved to Channel 5, at that point, were you concerned that you might get replaced? Because they were obviously, the host was different, Brian Dowling had a go at it, and then obviously Emma Worse now. So was you concerned at that point, they might actually sack me off here?
Yeah, of course I was, yeah. But I found out pretty early on that... On the day it was finishing, the week it was finishing, there was big rumours still in camp that it was going to Channel 5. And apparently, all of a sudden, as we were saying goodbye, literally the curtain was coming down, and this guy who was called Dan Nettleton, who was the head of task, he whispered and said, it's all gone tits up. Richard Desmond has pulled out or something like that. Oh, God. So I thought, oh, my God. But then we found out, I found out about March that it was coming back and that they wanted me. So it was a bit, yes, it was a big, because you don't know, you know.
It's a worry, isn't it? Every year?
You think, how could I watch it ever again? It would be awful. It's my favourite programme. It's like, oh, I can't watch it with anybody else.
But anyway. It wouldn't be the same without you now. If they didn't like a show without you,
I mean, Marcus, you've done every voice of every housemate of every series in the... I mean, even saying that is crazy. Do you have a select few housemates that you particularly enjoyed watching? Because you have to watch it both as a narrator, because you've got a script.
Yeah.
And as a viewer.
Oh, I'd leave. I mean, I think the thing is, I think it's so... Especially as the years have gone by, it's been so difficult for the producers to get the right housemates, because obviously we all know what Big Brother's about, but apparently this year it's going to be different, which I'm hoping that it is.
Hope that every year in a way, right?
I want to be always introduced to people that I'm excited to watch, and oh, I haven't seen this person before. Oh my goodness, that is a right character, whether good or bad. I mean, sometimes it can be a bit dark, can't it? It was dark a couple of years ago with Helen.
Oh yeah, I mean,
that was a little bit hard. I mean, she was true, wasn't she? She was who she was anyway.
And remarkably, Helen Wood won Big Brother.
Such a big surprise.
She did.
Anyway, but she did have a lot of fans out there, obviously. But
somebody's voting, yeah.
But there's so many, isn't there? There's so many.
Jade Goody, of course, is probably immortalised as one of the most famous ever housemates.
You'd have to meet Gia, though. I mean, did you ever meet Gia?
I didn't, actually, Marcus. I've never met Gia. She unfortunately, I think she died the... was it 2008? Gia got it, or a few years after, but I never met her.
I think it was 2009.
Yeah, so I didn't meet her. And I imagine she was lovely, even though she got a bad rap
at one
point.
Well, do you know what? There's that sort of overused sort of phrase, the X Factor, and I don't use it hardly ever, but she had it. There was something about her. She just was like, you just couldn't keep your eyes on. And she was so... enigmatic, she really was. It's, you know, you look back and she was the first. I mean, people were fascinated by her.
Yeah, everyone grew to love her, didn't they?
And hate her at one point. Yeah. Jiggly was, you know.
Absolutely. And of course, like people like Nikki Graham.
Oh my gosh, she was amazing.
But she is who she is.
Even if you don't like her, she is who she is.
She's got a little twinkle in her eye. She knows what she's doing, but that's what she's like. She's a little diva, and I adore her for it.
She's made money off being a diva. That is who she is. She's, you know, she's a brand, and that's what she's sold to them. I mean, you know, you have to see it like that. I mean, Marcus, you know, one of the other things I was thinking of, and this is just a flippant thought, but you must never be able to have one a day off in the summer or two a summer holiday. Ever, 16 years?
No, I mean, when was it? Last year, they did a break. They did a break in the middle of the shows, because we do like a normal Big Brother, and then a celebrity. They'd put about a month in, but they're not doing that this year. So I had a break, but I just moved house, so I just spent the summer.
It was good for that, yeah.
Yeah.
So do you always have to go on winter holidays then, I'm guessing?
or in the autumn. I'm fancying Turkey this year, maybe September, October, whatever.
Nice, because that'll still be hot then, won't it?
But it is. But every year, I've got a studio at home now. I used to have to travel every day, and I've moved even further.
So you just do it from home?
So I do it from home, but I am so sort of housebound.
Yeah, because if they need you, if they need you for any moment, you have to
make the most of it going out now and then. Because you can't go out during the day.
Just in case they need you. Marcus, listen, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for being on Luke and Lucy.
We could go on and on, couldn't we?
It's actually really interesting. It is.
I was saying before, I've learned so much.
It's been educational.
In like the last 20 minutes.
You'll have to have me on that podcast you do.
You know what we should do, Marcus? I was thinking we could hire you as the voice of the podcast.
That would be a good idea.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you never know.
You never know. Marcus, listen, here's a thought. Actually, Marcus, stay on the phone, we're going to get you to voice the end of the podcast so we can voice into himself. So stay on the phone, Marcus. But before that, we just want to say we have got a message from our supporters of this podcast, High Life Diners Club. We did say you got an exclusive offer, and here it is.
Yes, if you love dining out, why pay full price? Discover utter foodie heaven with High Life Diners Club.
Absolutely. You can feast on a whole host of well-known restaurants across the UK and never pay full price again. With High Life, you can enjoy two-for-one dining at thousands of top restaurants across the UK and Ireland.
Yep, and we have an exclusive offer for Luke and Lucy FM listeners. You can claim your free three-month High Life card right now. Just simply visit www.high-life.co.uk/myvoucher and enter our unique code, which is LL16.
That's LL16. That's thanks to High Life Diners Club for supporting this podcast. We are back with episode 19 of the podcast next week of Luke and Lucy FM, but we're not going to say anything else
now.
Marcus, end the show with yourself. Thanks for listening this week.
Well, that was Luke and Lucy FM, and he is myself.
You've just listened to Luke and Lucy FM. Why not listen to it all over again? Oh, and please, leave us a review on iTunes. Pretty please.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.